You need to break an introduction, right? I'm Flemish, but I will do this in English anyway, if that's okay for you guys. I know the session said English, so I find it weird that the Dutch do their sessions in Dutch, because it's a general, you know, audience with lots of nationalities coming over. So, all right, I'm doing this small talk. It's only a level 200 session, so don't expect too much of it. It's a session on something called Monaco. Who never heard about Monaco? So many people. You never tried Monaco. All right, cool. At least I got an audience that doesn't know it. That's good. So it's a part integrated somewhere. You will find out in immediately. Do you get the title, by the way? Do you like that title? Did it? Yeah, I thought so. That's why I... Ooh, way better. Cozy, guys. Yeah. You want popcorn with that? Yeah. All right, cool. So, Monaco. Am I talking too loud now? Or do you want me to adjust the volume? All right, cool. So, Monaco. Yeah, you all know this, right? This. You know what? Microsoft really fooled us. For almost, wait, what? 4 years now, they've been fooling us by this. So you know where this comes from, right? This animated GIF thing? No? So it's actually, it was in the original management portal of Azure. It's an Azure talk, this one. It's not a Visual Studio talk, it's an Azure talk. And they made us believe that this was an HTML5 disk, and I found that so impressive until I started installing the first time WAP, so Windows Azure Pack. And then I found out that you could customize the Azure Pack, and I started customizing the CSSs, and everything turned red because I needed to adapt the color to red, except for this down thing. This stays blue. So I went looking, and apparently in the source code it says an animated GIF. So this thing is an animated GIF. They fooled us. So anyway, it's not about the GIF, by the way, that I'm going to talk. Maybe give you a small introduction. If you take a look at the screen, you already see what I'm going to talk about. So I am Mike Martin. I'm Belgian. I'm sorry for that. Kay? We still have the best beer in the world, though. But you're gaining on us. You're gaining on us. You have already 2 Trappiste, which is good. 2 already out of 14. That's a good average, guys. Keep on doing the great work, but please stop calling Heineken beer. Right? Now that's done. Now that is done. I'm not going to sit on your necks again for quite a few years. Yeah. Except maybe for football, but that's another story. You had that coming, yeah. All right, so I'm an architect. I work for the Kronos company, which is a large integrator in Belgium, actually the largest in Belgium. I work for the sub called Crosspoint Solutions, a cloud architect. I'm an Azure MVP. I tweet somewhere, TechMike2Cake, so if you want to have a lot of tweets coming inbound at you, just follow me. You will be done for the rest of the day. And this talk is really about what Monaco is. So Monaco is a code name for something which is now already been renamed. They renamed it after I submitted the session and the title and everything, and then it wasn't going to, you know, rename it. And since I only got this 45 minutes for this session, and we started a few minutes earlier, I think I will manage this thing. What we will talk about is, I'm going to give you an introduction, what the architecture is about, how can we navigate, where's my cheese, the capabilities, what are in there, some addendum and some epilogue, and things that you can do with it. Right. So if you want to look at my blog, yeah, don't worry, it's been out of service for a couple of months. I didn't write any new articles yet because I was too busy implementing other stuff, so I apologize for that. So, Monaco. What is Azure Monaco? Well, Azure Monaco is actually something that you know already, and they released it last year somewhere in, last year somewhere in May, I think. Who all knows what he's seeing on the screen right now? What does this resemble? Exactly. And that's exactly it. And that existed way before Visual Studio Code. If we go and take a look at Monaco, so I'll open Monaco up for you for just a second. So I have Monaco here. So I'm going to show you where you can find it. Let me just go to my web page. So it's actually an implementation inside of an app service. And they don't call it Monaco anymore. They didn't call it Visual Studio Online anymore. Now they dare to call it... Let me just do this. App Service Editor. Yeah, I don't know why, but these Azure guys, they are so good at marketing. It's apps everything. All right. Okay, so the baby needed a new name, App Service Editor. Well, kind of covers the cargo. So if I open this thing, just go. And what you can actually see, I'll explain you in a second, but just to show you where it comes from. Voila, here we go. If we take a look at this screen, if we take indeed a look at... Where's my code? We take indeed a look at this screen. You can see that these are actually quite the same. Right? Even more fun, if we do a F12 here, and we do a... Let me just see from here. Help. Toggle Developer Tools. You all know this, right? Toggle Developer Tools that you can see actually in there. If we take a look here, I cannot enlarge this, but here you see. Monaco shell content. Yeah. Which is the code name for that? And here we can see Monaco shell. Plus, if you take a look here, can actually see here that it is actually the same code base if you look hard, but I always have to look up a little bit for this thing because there is a reference here to WinJS, and that actually shows that it's the same code base because they use exactly the same classes and all the same things underneath. So it's exactly the same thing. They only just now put it into an executable and recompiled it and made it available for all the different pro. So that's basically it. But who knew that you had this in the background somewhere in an app service? Who knew this? Who never saw this before, that you had this? All the room. All right, cool. You're in the good room. You're in the correct session. Okay, so what is this thing? It's actually an on-the-fly development tool that you can use and that you can actually abuse for your daily hammers or even just in your own CI/CD development flow. You're going to say, why? Well, actually, all the features that you have in code, what are the main features that you have in code? You have a shell, of course, where you can edit with IntelliSense. Mm. You have, what else do you have? You have a console in there. And, of course, you have, there's so many things that you have integration with something which is really nifty and we all been using lately, which is called Git. Right, so that's all in there. Okay, so it's for on-the-fly changes that you can do, and it has the same mechanisms that you have in Visual Studio Code. So that's in a nutshell what this thing is about. Now, how does it work? Well, it has slightly changed. So this is the architecture of it. So in beforehand, this was a site extension that was deployed onto your site. It still is. It still runs in the same sources as your web app environment, but it's now no longer available as an extension. So in the past, you needed, if you went to the old management portal, yeah, so you had the new management portal, the old new management portal, you had the old portal, you have five, right? You do know that? They change more portals than they change underwear, these guys. So if I go back to this one, and I'll just go here, to my management portal, you could actually, when you were deploying a website, let me just open this one. This is a good one. And if I now go to my dashboard, you can actually see here that there is a, come on, show up. You lame. Ah, they finally removed it. All right. Darn it, last week it was still there. You could actually see edit this with Visual Studio Online. So you had to install this plugin. You needed to enable it through the configuration settings, which you could do here. As you can see here, edit in Visual. Oh, it was turned off. All right, I can still turn it on. That won't That won't hurt. Save it. Let's just go back. I thought it was removed. But this one didn't have it. So for now we're to say here. It will all of a sudden be revealed to us, hopefully. Yeah, here it is. So that's the way you needed to implement it. Now you can have it straight from your blade on managing the infrastructure. Yeah. Or you could do it through Kudu, which is also very cool. If you open up Kudu, you go to your website. Everybody knows Kudu? No? All right. Something else to learn. So Kudu, you see our URI here, right? So Kudu is actually the root here, as you can see. You see the website name, and then you see SCM, AzureWebsites.net, right? If you want to go there, you just need to do this. So add to your URI, just .SCM in between your website name and your AzureWebsites.net, just add SCM and you will go to Kudu. Now, through the new portal, it's also available, through the Ibiza portal, it's also available just by going to the tools session. But it's good that you know these URIs, because sometimes you need to call the API directly of Kudu, so that way you can do custom deployments. So if I were to do this, you would actually see that we are in Kudu. If I were now with, say, site extensions, you will actually see that there's no longer a site extension, but they will reroute you immediately to Visual Studio Monaco. That was a story I was gaining at. In the past, you could use this as a gallery extension, which was implemented then on your website. And it looked something like this. So you have a custom, you have your www root, so your IIS root, where you can host your web pages. Yeah? There you put in your dev site, whatever you have, and the site extension would be put in there, running a separate process next to that, but it would also count for your bandwidth. So if you are having free sites, that could be troublesome because, you know, in free sites you have a limit of 165 megabytes a day, and if you bound to that, well, disaster happens because you can no longer do anything with your website. So that counts for your bandwidth too. And it just plugs in there and it sits in the same sandbox of your development environment. So you can actually use a lot of these things on the fly. Just to give you an idea how it works. And as you can see, these are the things that are running in the back. So the things that you have available, you have packages, NPM packages that you can use. What are there? There's NPM in there. They're sent in there for streaming files. There's Express, which is a Sinatra-inspired web dev environment. And more things are being added to this. So the guys of the App Service team, they've been putting in a lot of effort to make code and this offline editor for you to work. So that way you don't have to install anything, you can just use a browser. Right? So NPM, you all know, to install your packages. So you can actually use that from inside of Monaco, just as you can use it from inside of your Visual Studio Code. Interesting so far, or am I boring the hell out of you? You're awfully quiet for Dutch people. Most of the time I get more comments or responses, or just sleepy. It's right after lunch, I know. what sessions did you all watch this morning? Are you all deaf, or IT pro, or mixed? Or just here to get away from work for a day? Probably the latter one, okay. All right, So, where's my cheese? What can we do? Well, we have, just as in code, we have a couple of things. We have a file explorer, we have a search window, we have a Git implementation, we have an output window, a console window. Now, the thing is, it's a little bit different implemented than we have in the Visual Studio Code, because if you put them side by side, you can actually see that. If I just find them back, so this is my code, this is that. And we have here my, the thing is that my slides look exactly like my browser now. that makes it hard. Here it is. So if we do this one again, here we have it. So we just put these away. Put this a little bit larger. That's a fun thing about browsers. You can actually make them grow better. Just put this away. Double developer code. Voila. And just, as you can see, the icons look the same just above the line we have here. Yeah? But here we have a better editing and debugging experience, because that will work out of the box. Here we need to do some weird stuff. And as you can see, there's also some consoles in here which are natively not there. Yeah? I'm running the latest version of code with all the extensions that you can install. I don't know if you tried these already, but the new extension manager is pretty cool, because you can just say, I want an extension, and if you want to install it, just install it. You don't need to do the nifty gritty thing anymore during in the Control Shift P thing, where you need to set an install extension. If you want to go a little bit more wild with code, there's also an insider build which you can download. The fun thing is that it has a total different look and feel to it, because this one has a green icon. That makes it, but at least you can, you have more interesting things, more colored experience, and so on and so on. So they trend to build on those things. So, code, Monaco is. So we have here our folder thing, our folder tree. We can search. So, for instance, if I want to search for, let's say, Git. You can actually see, should be looking at, I can actually see all my files where Git is being referenced at. If I were to say I want to run all my markdown files, I can actually find those back, should be able to find those back. No results. Oh yeah, it looks inside of the files, it doesn't look for the files itself. So it's just basically a file explorer and a search functionality. It can go a lot better. Same here that you have here, same experience. Next to that, we have Git implementation, which can be hooked to any kind of repo or on the app service environment or on a remote GitHub, just as I did here. So I'm just going to demonstrate you that in a second, what you can do there. And you have a console window, which is very fun, because from in that console window, you can actually just call here. That's the output that you get when you do something, and this is a console window. And from here, I can just do a dir listing, and which actually also exposes the Kudu environment for a part. So that way, it's again another shell onto the Kudu. Yeah. So Kudu, if you're really into app service, who's doing app services today? Nobody. Ah, okay, two people. So if you're doing Kudu and you're doing deployments, how do you do deployments? By ARM templates, or do you use CI implementations, or you just deploy from Visual Studio? Last one, shame on you. Sorry, man. Don't take it personally, but shouldn't. But also, if you do deploy from Visual Studio, it brings on the Git Kudu implementation, the hook that it has into, pulls all the sources in. So they use that. But you shouldn't be doing from deploy from Visual Studio. You do know why, right? No. How many developers do you have in your team? Two. Okay. It works on my machine. It worked on my machine. That's nice comeback. Octopus. Octopus is awesome. Octopus is awesome. You should do release management on it. If any release vehicle management tooling that you can implement should be implemented. Just like source control, unit testing that you do on the server side, not by a human. With all respect, sir, don't take this a bad way. But a human can make errors. Machines make errors too, but that's because, what? All right, let me put it differently. Most of the time, if I get that answer, I say something like, "I will skin you alive, hang you upside down on the highest tree, leave you hanging, and set an example for the rest of the lot." That scares them off mostly. But maybe that was a little bit too ranty. No, the thing is why I'm saying this is because if you're doing that and you don't have any granular control on your deployment, you will actually have no clue whatsoever is in deployment. If you do a deployment and somebody else doesn't know that you did a deployment, and they come back on Monday morning and they see something is wrong, oh yeah, let me just change the code because something is wrong in that code over here, and you forgot to check in your code and stuff like that, you're screwed over, right? And then you get issues. And that's something you want to avoid. Most of the time I say, if you break the build on a integrated system, it's beers for everyone. If you break the build on your PC, you're fired. But again, don't take it personally. It's just a bad practice. Yeah. At least if you're doing it from Git or from a source control, you're already in the clear. But you should let your builds be handled by an artifacts machine, which can handle the builds for you and automate it. At least you get the tracing of everything. You have tracing with Git too. Don't get me wrong. Even if you use a visualizer or something, you have a good tracing there. But it's harder when you do multi people things in team, right? So, but at least as long as you have that already, you're already there. Almost. Almost. Okay, there's more. Oh, yeah. So there's more. Right. We have shortcuts. We can have navigation. The same shortcuts as we have in code are now implemented also in Monaco. So you can do a Control Shift P, you can start looking for everything. You can do a Control E, which can open your, which can start looking for stuff. Alt F1 opens the help, and so on and so on. So you can actually do these things. So if I were to say, let's see, Control Shift P here, you would actually see that I can start typing. I would say clear console. It will give me my clear console thing. I need to click on this thing, apparently. And it cleared my console. It's these things, right? You have a lot of settings in there too, which you can alter. Like for instance here, you can see all these settings, but if you open the settings, it's nothing more than a JSON file because everything is based on JSON in that thing. Yeah? So these are the things that you can work by with, right? Cool. If I were to do an Alt F1, for instance, should do something. And then I click Alt F1, and they broke that key. Does the Control E still work? Yeah, Control E still works. That gives you more the typical commands or the output or whatever you have there. You can go do the help thing, and you get more information on these. All the commands, symbols, errors, and warnings. So you can do actually this. There's a warning. So that way you get the tracing of your code and so on and so on. Shortcut keys. There's a list of there somewhere on the, I think it's on the Azure pages, but I don't have the link here by with me. But there's a link somewhere which shows all the shortcuts. I think you can even find it on the Visual Studio Code page somewhere. But there's a link with all the shortcuts there. Right. There's still more. Okay. So we also have the navigation settings. We have a settings page, as I already showed. We have a theming. So you do know that in Visual Studio, you have different themes. Do you know that you have different themes in the portal? Don't know. You do know if you go to your... where's my mouse? Come on. If you double click here, you can actually change the theming of your environment, dark editor and stuff. We had that also in the other portal, but it's more on the background thing. Didn't really change the portal. And same thing we have in Visual Studio Monaco. You can also change the themes. Also in the normal Visual Studio, you can change that, right? But more important is indeed the JSON file itself, because you can easily just say, I want, for instance, where is it? Line numbers. Let's say this one, for instance. I want to change this one. You need to make that. You need to make sure that you have this setting in your own implementation of the JSON file. And we're gonna go with false. And as you can see, it has full IntelliSense. So if I were to do this, voila. Immediately you see that happening, right? You have a full change on your left-hand side. Immediately you see the changes reflected to your environment. That happens for everything else. If I were to change a file, here for instance, let's say the MD file. Come on, open up in this area. If I were to open an MD file and I were to change something, Control Z. Let's say here. And I'm going to say, let me just do that in preview. There's a preview window here, and I want to do that side by side with my split. And I'm going to go this in preview. So if I were to say here, simple demo, you can immediately see the changes being reflected in my preview window. So it's very good for online editing. Right? As you can see there, there's a little lagging there, but that's OK. OK. Theming we had, settings pages we had. So you can do you can have a lot of settings that you can change. So if you go back to the settings, there's a lot of settings that you can change. You can wrapping columns, all these things that you can change. Just copy them over to your needs, and what you want to change, you can change. Also components, folders to include to exclude when doing full text search, for instance, you can exclude or either include these folders. You can really gradually change anything that you like. Yeah, you can. I will show you in a second. Yeah, that's the entire point of that editor, right? So you have split view window and you have a help page there. I already demonstrated that. What else is in the box? So we have for coding. Well, we have IntelliSense, as I already showed you. But there's also more fun there, because if I were to say, let's say I want to add a CSS file to, oh, it's still there, damn it. I thought I deleted it. Let's just delete this one. OK. So let's say I want to add an additional file to my environment. I can, come on. All right. So let's just say I want to add an additional file. What I can just do is drag and drop the files in there, and it will automatically add them. So it will automatically upload them. It just works as a file folder. Now for coding things, this is really, really nifty, and this is where all the fun stuff's in. So it supports almost every language that you have on the basics, like PHP, whatever you have, PowerShell, all these languages are supported. Actually, this same implementation is being used in the automation tagging, in the remote server tools that you have in Azure. Anybody heard about those? No? Okay. I'm not going to show these different talk, but all these nifty little things where you can do code editing is actually using the same engine of IntelliSense. So if I were to say, let's open up my my CSS that I imported here, and let's say, oh, I want to have some color here. I actually want to say, I want to replace this color by red. And as you can see, it automatically recognizes that it is a color, and it will show me a full color palette. So you have these all these options of IntelliSense, even up to a color aspect, which is pretty cool. So that can make your swift changes, especially for cosmetics. I wouldn't do this for large production changes unless you cannot do anything else. And if you hook it to a Git environment, then you're good to go. So let's say I change that color to red, for instance. All right. Other cool thing is that you don't have to save it. All your files are automatically being saved at the same time. That's the thing that they took from OneNote. So you know that you do know that you have OneNote in the cloud, and you can edit, and everything will be saved. That's the same principle they applied here. Yeah. So we can do that. We can say, if we go into HTML, we got all the nitty-bitty grids, like if I'm opening up a tag, for instance, I can immediately see all the things that I can use as a tag. Yeah. I can go for an H1 to 6, a head, a header. So it will randomly show you all the things that are being typed out. So you get all this IntelliSense marking working for you. Right. So that's cool. As I said, you don't need to save it. What you do need to do is, of course, when you're doing Git, you still need to do your Git stuff. But we'll get to that in a second. Source control. Oh, yeah, I was already on this slide. All right. So the source control part is very easy. You just go there and just add your GitHub repository, or just your local Git. So you can initiate a local Git repo on your app service environment. So that way your source control is being saved there. Now, For those who use integrated workflows from within GitHub and just make the build work automatically for you and push it back to Visual Studio, this will override it if you will do it like that. So if you want to do Git or GitHub deployments, do it from a fresh copy and don't use it from the other way that you can have deployment slots and all these. You just use these as an additional one. I'll show you in a second what I mean for that. So we have Git here. We have all the things that we can do. We can do a pull, we can do a commit, or we can do it even just by doing this. I can just say, I need to type right, git add dot. We all know that, right? Who doesn't know Git? Everybody knows, you know, most of them know Git, so just do Git, and then you have adding the files, and then we go pushing them back. And then we say git commit dash m. Hello, take this committing from demo. Voila. It committed it, and now I still need to, I think so. It committed it, and I still can do, I can just do push from here now, if I want to. I just can do also do git push origin master, and then you're good to go too. And as I will show you that I'm not lying, that it is committed to my GitHub environment. Oh, yeah, that wasn't the one. That was not what I wanted. I wanted here. Voila. So I'm in here. I'm just gonna open this one. Took, took, took. Side by side. This one up back. As you can see, it has the same implementation of PowerShell in Git. Who works with PowerShell in Git? Who works with PowerShell? At least a couple of them are not afraid to admit it. PowerShell is cool, by the way, because pure.NET for IT pros. You should learn it. Even developers should learn it. Yes, I kid you not, you should be using PowerShell, especially if you're doing NuGet, because all the nitty-bitty grids in NuGet are actually being done by PowerShell, not through the interface, but that's another story. So I'm going to go to my own environments. That was this one. Deploy to Azure demo. As you can see here, this one is still here. I thought I deleted that file. So yeah, that's 2 hours ago. I'm just gonna say delete this for a second. Up. Voila. Come on. Suddenly in the back, commit changes. Voila, so it's no longer there. So if I now were to say here, come on, push. It will actually start pushing. Voila. Should it work? I want to enter. But why not pushing? Come on. Push. I'm not seeing anything. That's not syncing. For some stupid reason, it doesn't want to push. Ah, yeah, it's taking the changes back. All right, let's just do that then. Up. Come on. It's a merge conflict. Yeah, okay. All right, no problem. Just re-add this file. Voila. And let's do that again. That's the downside of it. All right, just sync, cancel. All right, I got myself into peril here. Come on, just do it. I don't want to go into. Oh. He doesn't want to. All right, cool. Just take my word for it. The file should appear here, because I don't want to go over time. But there's more to it, because actually it gives you more leverage to other stuff. Because actually what you could do is you can also use these. You got npm that you can use. You can use NuGet from there. Also, PowerShell command lines can be executed from there. MS build can be executed from there. So if you have a build system that you want to quickly do or do a build of an ASP.NET page or something or a core, you can actually do that from here. Node SAS thing, unzipping is there, so you can actually call the unzip and you can unzip your packages, stuff like that. Now the cool thing is if you do the console thing and you want to go for, let's say, your DOS commands still work. So if I was to say ps get child item, for instance, that will work, or should work. And that will actually show me a directory listing, as you can see, just like you would do in PowerShell. But I can also do this. I don't know if you can see that one. Let me open that up for you. You can actually start using a website as a deployment model and a management tooling for your Azure environment, because you can install the Azure clients. Cross-client components, and it will start installing these things, and you can just do it, use it from there, right? Give it a time, some time, and it will start pushing all these changes to. Come on, show it already. Should be already visible in the files normally. Not yet. Okay. Still running. Come on. Usually takes a while. Right, we'll just have that running. We'll see an effect of that in a second. What else do we have? TFS repository cloning. That will come somewhere in the future, so you will be able to hook that up to the Team Foundation server from within VSTS Online. It's not TFS anymore, it's the VSTS. They changed it again of name. First it was Visual Studio Online, then it was TFS Online, and then it was Visual Studio Team Services, which was the earlier name of Visual Studio Team Server, right? So they really like these things. Azure websites can be remotely debugged. You have console.log, which you can use to show all your logins of your website, which you can log stream then. But there's better tools for that, because you can actually better go into Kudu and get all the pages back from there, and you get all the dumps from your website there. For those who don't know that, I am going to show you this, because this is a very interesting one. If you go into Kudu and you go here to Tools Support, give it a second. There we go. Internet is freaking slow. Slow as hell. Come on. You ever seen this page? So if you're in deep peril and you need a lot of information on your websites, if you're doing app services, you can actually use this one to actually analyze all of your things, and you can collect all these logs, and you can even set which logs you want to create, like PHP logs, but there are also memory dumps, IIS dumps, event dumps, and so on and so on. And it creates nice reports out of, like this one, for instance. If I were to open this one, you can actually see that it generates nice reports which are readable. So that just goes to the Kudu part, but it just slash support behind it, and you're in the go for your environment. Just something I give away as an extra. Yeah, my time is almost up. That's a good thing. Elementary, dear Watson. Epilogue. Well, we also have Kudu underneath, as I already explained. Now, how can you use this in dev, test, and production environments? Well, if you're using Azure websites, you have this thing called, if you have an instance which is large enough, or expensive enough in the case of Azure. Sorry, that was a rant. If you have one of those, you can actually have deployment slots. If you use this on one of the slots as your testing agent or your development agent, then you just then push them back to Git and make your staging agent being pushed from the GitHub or from Git, and then from there out you do also do the deployment from production, you can actually make this work. Yeah, there's a nice description on a web page which I will reference in my slide decks, and you will be able to download these afterwards, where you can actually see how to implement this kind of a CI full workflow just from within a browser without having to install any tools. Right? Do make sure that if you're doing a GitHub connection through the web deployment part, so that's this thing. If you go into where is it again? Deployment. Those are the slots. It's this one, right? Yeah. So you can have source control set up here. Yeah? If you do it from here, your settings will be overwritten every single time. So that's not a good way to do it. So first implement this one and then go into using the Git thing from within, because that's not the same Git implementation. They use it on a different level. So you need to keep that in mind. But if you were to say, I'm going to configure my full deployment from within the GitHub repository that I'm doing, and I'm going to push it through the release pipeline, then this is a far better option. So you use this, the online Monaco, inside your dev environment or even in your testing environment if you want to make minor changes, and then you push it back to your GitHub, and then you go up to the full deployment there. I prefer this above your solution, pushing from Visual Studio. Still not quite optimal, but at least you have some building perspective there. Yeah, it gives you some leverage. I'm not hitting you, man. Just trying to make a point. Don't take it personally. I'm here also to present best practices, right? That's why I'm here in front of you, because you don't want to get kicked in the butt by your boss. All right, cool. Having that said, and on that bombshell, I would like to thank you for this opportunity of talk one. I'm doing another one at 6:15. Who imagined that? And again at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yeah, at least it's not 7:30 in the morning, as I had a couple of years ago in Experts Live. But then at least I had a full room then. Yeah. Thank you. I reached my goal. As I said, you do this really for small changes. Texts, uploading stuff, adding additional files. It's very easy. It's very lightweight. You only need a browser. Of course, you also need internet connection. But then again, if you're pushing to your website, you need an internet connection anyway. So, but why would you prefer that? Well, you have all the tools there. You don't need to install Visual Studio Code. Let's say you don't have any admin rights or something. You saw how easy it was just to change a file. It saves it automatically. You just do a git push commit. Yeah. But there, now that it's been renamed to App Service Editor, they're picking that thing up again because they left it behind to start working on code, and now they're going to fine-grain them and making them work a little bit easier. So it will be easier for you to implement some plugins there too in the future. Yeah? But you didn't hear that from me. That will probably come someday. So any more questions? Hope you had fun. Yeah, sorry, sir. So it's immediately in that source. You immediately go to the source, to the file space that you have attributed to your app service. So if I were to go and see in the file explorer in Kudu, which I could actually do because I still have the whole 2 minutes, so I can still demo that. Where is it? Zappa, here we go. Chuk, chuk, chuk. This one. No, yeah, this one. This will work. No, not here. Here it is. No. So if I were to go to Kudu immediately, you would actually see. Damn it! I wanted to show you the nice Azure logo, but it's gone now. As you can see here, there's a debug console here, which can actually make you go to your file explorer, and you would also see that the files have changed date, because in the file explorer you have in Monaco, you actually don't see this. But this is, here you go, so the site, www.root, you can actually see the times that it changed. It was like, you know, I have a debug log here, this one. If I want to say this one, let's take a look at this file. You can actually see all the things that it did. I tried to do and didn't work because I didn't have any rights and there was an issue there, so I screwed up my app environment, but I knew that was going to happen because I had merge conflicts and I Git integrated and so on and so on. But as you can see, these can just save, this get saved on the spot and they will get be overwritten. There's no versioning there, it just overwrites it. Okay, so, but then again, make undoing the changes far more easy because you just type them in again and you're gone, and you're good, right? All right? So, that's it. I would like to thank you. Hope you enjoyed it. And I warned you, it was level 200.